This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
طيب بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. جزاكم الله خير for coming and for being with us here today. As أخونا محمد said, it's kind of mind-boggling to think that we've been here for 2 years. And I remember when we're in basically the garage of Sheikh Adnan talking about this, will this actually work? Would a pilot like this be useful? Should we even attempt something like this? And we're humming and hawing for a long time. And subhanAllah, the right opportunity came and this came about. And from the moment it started until now, I have to admit that I feel it's been a blessed journey. Obviously with a lot of ups and downs, absolutely nothing is perfect and nothing goes straight up. But with that journey, with the ups and downs, I feel that we're all collectively coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the intent behind this place. We have a mission, we have a vision, I'll share that with you. We'll talk about what we've accomplished in the last year. We'll also go about our numbers, go through the numbers of in terms of the money in, money out. We're trying to be as transparent as possible because we humbly believe that this mosque, this center is yours. It's not ours. It's not Sheikh Adnan's, not Sheikh Janabi's. It's everyone here that this masjid belongs to, that this center belongs to. So we owe it to you to share where we've come and also where we plan on going in the future. And we love that advice from you. If you think that our direction's probably not where you think we need to be heading, we need you to tell us, inshallah. So what is the Muslim Wellness Network? That the actual name of the organization is Muslim Wellness Network Charitable Organization. This place is called the Wellness Center, as you know, from the Afia, the concept of Afia and being well. And our vision when we put this place together way back when, it goes much further than 2 years ago, was that there is a network that does exist of Muslims who are innovative, they're productive, they're trained, they're intelligent, they do exist. And this network is focused on service. It's that simple. On khidmah, on service of the community for the community. And generating that vision, the direction, and that leadership for the entire community of London, not just wellness. So in terms of our mission, what we're hoping to do is what you see up here. It's to exemplify a model of personal development and profound service, putting it together rooted in our Islamic tradition. First and foremost, to generate wellness for you, for me, for everybody. What does that really translate into? Translates into a place that belongs to everybody, where you come in to this place and you feel it's yours. You feel home. You feel like you belong. You have somebody that greets you at the door, like you would be greeted when you come to my house or Sheikh Adnan's house, that you feel that this is belongs 100% to you. You're not just another user of a space, but this space is yours. And we tried to run it this way from day one. Did we get it right? Did we get it perfect? Of course not. There's always room for improvement. And I know Sheikh Adnan sometimes has a lot of room for improvement. I'm just kidding, of course. But we all do. But that is the vision that we're working with. We're trying to create a space where we demonstrate our love to you. I know there's a heart on this slide. There was a heart on the slide last year. And that is really to say that we love you. Ultimately, I'm here to tell you that we love every single one of you. Not in the romantic sense, of course. And I mean the brothers and the sisters. We love you in the sense that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to love every one of us here. And think about it for a second. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved you so much that he would sit quietly on his own. And the Sahaba, this is documented in our tradition. He would sit sallallahu alayhi wa sallam there, and then they'd walk by him and they see him crying, tears coming down. And they say, Ya Rasulullah, what's wrong? There must be something wrong. Let us come and fix it. And he goes, No, nothing. I just miss my brothers and I miss my sister and my beloved. I miss my beloved. And they're like, that's weird. We're here. We're right next to you, Ya Rasulullah. He goes, No, you're my Sahaba. You're my companions. You're not my brothers and my sisters. He used it in the sense,
they asked them, well, who's your brothers and your sisters? He meant you. He said, people who will come after me will never have seen me, yet love me and follow me. And tell me that's not everybody in this room, inshallah. And if it's not, let's intend to be that person. He loved you so much, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that before your existence began, he missed you. He missed you so much that he cried because he missed you. So the question is, do I miss him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Do I cry when I think about him? He taught us everything that we're trying to do here. And we put a slide with a heart on it to try to demonstrate that everything that we're going to walk through, inshallah, the brothers and sisters that are going to show you and the numbers and the figures and all of that, truly emanates from a place of love and service to every person here. And you chose to be here. You could have been anywhere else. This is Saturday night or Sunday night. Tomorrow's a holiday. There's a million other places you could have been. But you chose to be in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that, in our books, is the definition of a hero. A person who's not perfect. You're not perfect. We're not perfect. But a person with their issues and faults and challenges shows up again and again and again. And comes back to the house of Allah saying, Ya Rab, I'm trying my best. We know that's who we are. That's how Sheikh Adnan is, the entire team is. We believe that we're struggling, but we struggle better when we're struggling together. And that's why we're here for you. Very quickly, before I pass it on to Sister Sara, is to explain who the team is, who's running this organization. And if you were here last year, this slide looks very, very different. If you recall last year, it was all friends of Sheikh Adnan who were Arab and of a certain weight class and of a certain age class, very close to his. But now, alhamdulillah, we're a bit different. We have our beloved Sheikh Adnan, obviously, as the leader of this organization. He's the chairman of our board. And we have a few additions. Sister Sara Al-Ghazar, who will be presenting right after me, inshallah. MashaAllah, a great resource for the entire country. She picked London because of her husband, and how lucky are we for him landing a job here. But they are really world-renowned. They were overseas, and they're here in London, Ontario, and we're blessed to have her. Akhuna Muhammad Hammu, who does not need any introduction, mashallah. He's the guy who makes everything work. We're blessed to have him. Sister Maysa Al-Sa'igh, you know how there's a hidden soldier that's kind of behind the scenes, but without them, everything falls apart? That's her. May Allah bless her. She's also a teacher. And I think that teacher attitude in her is what makes us stay on track. Dr. Muhammad Al-Janabi, mashallah, one of the amazing dentists. He's so amazing that we can't contain him in London. He's between here and Halifax, and he keeps going back and forth. And Akhuna Muhammad Fayed, who literally, if I can say anything, if I can take a second and say, we're truly blessed to have him. Because this masjid, honestly speaking, when something needs to get done, it typically is given to him, because he has amazing team like Akhuna Usama, who's just walking in, and others who get the stuff done. They are executors. May Allah bless them. And these brothers, you know, this slide was so hard to put together because everybody said, don't put my name there. Don't put my picture there. No, no, no. Up until this morning, like, this picture was taken maybe 15 minutes ago because he refused putting his picture here. It's brothers and sisters from you, for you, that are trying to do their best so we can close the gap between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together collectively, with focusing on service, focusing on development, and focusing on empowerment. Those are the three pillars of this organization. So with that, I would ask Sister Sara to come up here, inshallah, and present to us our impact.
Okay, JazakAllah khairan for coming, everyone. Thank you again for spending your time with us. We really appreciate it. Which way do I go for this one? This? So I'll just run you very quickly through our programs here at Wellness. We have, I call it Wellness. Sorry, Khalid, I know you want us to say the Muslim Wellness Network. So inshallah, the Muslim Wellness Network. And just give you a very quick snapshot of everything that happens every week in the center. So you know, subhanAllah, just how much just how much barakah you bring to the center, inshallah. So the Quran program, the chief is the Sheikh Janabi, who, mashallah, coordinates about 300 students with an excellent team of volunteers, about 60 volunteers, mashallah. And it's such a popular program that there's still about 160 people waiting on the list, 160 students, inshallah. And underneath, there's the Imam Development Academy, and that is run by Sheikh Adnan. Mashallah, there's so many people who registered for it, about 900 students who've registered. And that's run, mashallah, by a team of 8, which is very, very impressive. The Youth Development Academy, which used to be mentorship, so there was brothers and sisters mentorship for ages 10 to 17, 10 to 18. We have about 250. It's on a hiatus now. It'll come back, inshallah, I promise. But there's still people on the waiting list, and that is 45 volunteers, mashallah, many of them who are still doing their studies. So this is in addition to what they do, all of their exams and so on and so forth. So katar khairhum, they do a lot of work. Sisters Mentorship is in a pilot. This is for the younger sisters. Many of you are here. I can see you. 18 to 24. And we have, mashallah, just about 65 students or young ladies, I guess, who come every week. And that takes a team of 28 to coordinate with all of our mentors, mashallah. Our public programs are the programs that you see on YouTube every day. So the Quran Tafsir in English and in Arabic, and the Sira, which happens almost every weekend, almost without fail. And they are supported by about 20 volunteers. So in every one of these categories, you can see just how much effort happens behind the scenes. So many of you will come and you will sit and you will enjoy, inshallah. And that's exactly what we want you to do. And in the meantime, we are taking the opportunity to give everyone a chance to serve and the opportunity to gain a bit of some hasanat, inshallah. The convert program has about 30 people in it, mashallah, for the brothers and sisters who are new to Islam. And there's a team of 8 that helps them go through it. There's a seniors program that just started, and that has about 65 people registered with a team of 7. And then all the prayers, so all the 5 daily prayers, when you come, everything is ready for you, everything is clean, the bathrooms are clean. And that, mashallah, turns our doors at least about 1,000 times every week. And that's supported by a team of about 20 volunteers as well. So, and this does not include, I'm going to just back that up for a second. This does not include some of the smaller programs that fit under the heading, under the larger headings, or the ones that happen more haphazardly, or not every month, for example, like the Sisters Tea Talk, or the Qisas al-Anbiya that happens on Saturdays after Asr. I think Asim runs that one. And a few other smaller programs that are still being piloted. So we try them out first and see how they go. But actually, what I wanted you to understand is that even though the center, mashallah, is just 2 years old, you make it the center that it is. So I tried to calculate these numbers in as accurate a way as possible. But participant engagement, so every time someone engages with the center, that happens about 3,600 times a week. And we rely on a team of about 196 volunteers. And there are still people waiting to be served in our community. And it's beautiful because you're here. So thank you for coming. And thank you if you are a volunteer and giving your time. Thank you for giving us your time. It is the most precious of commodities. And inshallah, we'll keep making all of these circles bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Jazakallah khairan.
JazakAllah khairan, Sister Sara. Just before we get into the financials with Brother Khalid, I just want to ask for housekeeping, if we could hold the questions until the end. That way we can finalize all the presentations, inshallah. Hold your questions, write them down if you can on your phones, and then we can, that way, make sure everyone gets their chance to present. JazakAllah khairan. Here's Brother Khalid.
So they asked me to do this slide because it's the most boring slide. I do want to apologize on behalf of our treasurer. We do have a treasurer who couldn't make it today. He's out of town. So I'm going to be presenting the number on his behalf and giving you a financial review with basically an income statement where we started the year, where we ended the year, what came in, what came out. There's a lot more detail. And I know there's a few finance people that love to ask a lot of questions. We have backup slides, inshallah. We're going to give you all the detail you need. But this is one slide to hopefully capture the overall view of what we do here. So there's two parts to this. This is the income statement. So if you're not familiar with it, it lists all the income that came into the organization. So we start with the top of grants. And this is where Sister Maisa, I can't see her. There she is. May Allah bless her. We would be at zero, probably minus, if it wasn't for her. But she came in and said, you don't put up her hand. I know how to do grants, and I know how to do it really well. And you guys are amazing at what you do. Let's see if we can make something happen. And she did. May Allah bless her. Basically, I didn't know that the city can give us free money, but she did. It's not free. It's strings attached, but it's money to supply us with what we do, the services that we do here. So the City of London provided us with a grant for $30,000. I believe, may Allah bless them and bless you for doing it. I believe it was for youth work and some of the mentorship that we do. Youth opportunities unlimited also were kind enough, generous enough to provide us a grant of $1,000 plus. And we participated in the Canada Summer Jobs. This is an initiative by the government where they say, if you're going to hire certain people, especially students, we're willing to pay a lot of their wages. So we had about $50,000 that came through to that. So total grants was about $81,000, bifadlillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the bulk of our income then comes out from donations. And there's two types of donations. General donations, when you guys come up and say, here's a check for $1,000 or $5,000 or $10,000, may Allah bless you, or $10 or $50 that you pass on. And we also have a facilities donation. This is people who, may Allah bless them, said, you know, I want to support this place. I know it costs to support, to have a place like this, rent and facilities usage. This is my contribution. I want to continue to contribute to that. So we broke it up into those two components, and we managed by Allah's blessings to generate about $438,000 last year, 2023, from that source. And may Allah bless you all for making it happen, because without you, this place shuts down. As Ahuna Muhammad Omar keeps reminding me, these places cost money, and if people don't understand that, there will be a rude awakening. And you guys answered the call when we said, guys, we need a bit of help. May Allah bless you. You came up and you gave us the money that we needed. So the total income for us is $520,000 per month. I broke it down just to make it easier to understand. It costs us here to run what we currently run about $43,000. If we round it down. So $43,000 a month is our run rate here. For those people who understand how institutions work, that's actually pretty light for the amount of people that we turn through here. Because mashallah, we touch about 3,500 people per week. So on a return on investment, we believe that this is a decent number to work with. Alhamdulillah, it's not a big number, yet it serves a lot of people. The second half of the equation, where's my second half? The expenses, Muhammad, my expenses are not there. So let me see. You know what? I don't know if you can fix it within a second, or do you want me to go to the very last slide? Oh, there it is. Okay, can you expand it? Okay, I'll work with this. Sorry for the technical difficulties. Now you know, when anything goes wrong, I say Muhammad, and then he fixes it. So, jazakallah khair. So in terms of our expenses, our center expenses are about $74,000. We have a detailed list on this, so if you want to know what is that, we break it down, inshallah, on the very last slide that I'm not going to go through right now, but it's available for the Q&A. Things like cleaning, supplies, equipment for the masjid. Legal professional banking fees are about $6,000. Our office administrative is about $10,000. Utilities, about $29,000 per year. All these are annual numbers. Program expenses for the specific programs that we run, like the Quran program, the mentorship, the Ramadan program, is about $35,000. And as you guys know, we try not to charge for our programs. All those expenses are basically borne by all the donors that donate to us. Why do we do that? It's a philosophical outlook in terms of not trying to serve based on what people pay, but serve based on need. And if people need that service, they deserve, we believe, they deserve to get that service. and let the money deal, we'll deal with the money separately from people who want to support those programs. Sponsorship is where we go and empower other organizations to do great work, financially speaking. So MISC is a great example. They do beautiful work in the city. We can't do that work here because if the team doesn't have the resources, so we go and fund them to do that great work, inshallah. That's one sign of our unity, and we think all organizations, inshallah, are doing great work in London. So total center expenses are about 167,000. Sorry, I know the numbers are small. They were supposed to be bigger, but we couldn't get that working. Our facilities, our rent expenses are in the 247,000 level, and our payroll is the third segment. The payroll expenses are actually broken down into three segments. Funded wages are $81,000. What is funded wages? Remember the grants that I showed on the first half? This is where the government, the City of London, or the government of Canada, or provincially would say, okay, here's money that you can take and then go hire people. So that's what we call funded wages. The taxes, you got to pay the tax amount, unfortunately, and we love the CRA, all of us, I know, is 36,000, and 29,000 is unfunded wages. Basically, when we identify that we have a person, we need them established full-time to do or part-time to do that work. One example of that is money, counting receipts and all of that. These certain functions require payment. They can't be done volunteer, or they can be done volunteer, but they're going to be done really bad. So you go out and hire somebody dedicated to do that. So we spent about $29,000 last year on wages. So total payroll expenses are about $147,000. Put it all together, our expenses here is $561,000. So in 2023, we spent of your money $561,000 to keep this center open and all the programs that Sister Sara talked about. What does that translate when you subtract this number, 520, is what we bring in, and you subtract it from 561, you get a delta of $42,000. This is not a fundraising event. I'm not trying to say pull out your checkbook, but in the spirit of transparency, there is a deficit that we're running. We're about $40,000 in the hole, which translates into about $3,500 a month. Now, I do want to say that, alhamdulillah, we always pay our bills. How do we pay our bills? Very, very generous donors would come up and say, I know you have an issue. Let me help you with that. It's happened since day one. If you noticed, in the last month, we kind of pushed on you a little bit, saying, instead of individuals, certain individuals that Allah have opened up for them and have the means, we need to do our part. And I'm not fundraising now, but I'm being honest in saying that if we feel this place is doing what it needs to do and it's great work, then we have to step up and say, I'm going to put my hand up and I'm going to give you $100 a month or $200 or $300. Sheikh Adnan ran a campaign, or I talked about it on Jum'ah, saying, you know, if you want to give us one time, Jazakumullah khair. He said, don't give us. I'll say, give us the one time, no problem. But what we really need is that monthly contribution. Why is that monthly contribution important? Because it allows us not to focus on the money now and then focus on the kids and the people needing that service, on the converts, on the seniors. So my message to you is, to the extent that you feel inspired to, $3,500 is per month is where we're in the hole, and we're happy to help you bridge the gap between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala financially by doing your part and me doing my part. And even if it's as simple as $1 or $10 a month, everything is welcome. Very last slide before I pass it on to Sheikh Adnan, who I think we're all here to understand from him, listen to him and understand where we're going, is the breakdown in terms of where the expenditures go. So our daily and Friday prayers on a cost basis typically cost us about 16% of what we spend here. You may say, hold on a second, how is five daily prayers going to cost me 16% of your budget? It's because obviously it takes money to keep this place open and heated and cleaning and so on and so forth. So daily prayers is about 16%. public programs are about 14% of where we spend our expenses. And that is for the tea and the coffee and again, the fixed costs that go with this place. We tried to convince Sheikh Adnan not to give out sweets, but he's like adamant, we got to give people diafa. So that's the 14%. The imam, the Quran and hifz is about 17% of our expenses. And that is to supply books. It's actually mind-boggling how expensive books are if you live here. If you happen to live in Iraq or in Egypt, yeah, books are very cheap, but to be able to get them here, they end up costing a fair amount of money. 16% is where what we spend on that. The Imam Development Academy is about 11% of our expenditures. 14% is in our mentorship. That is for brothers, for sisters, for the youth, and for the adults. About 8% for sister mentorship, and continues to grow, if I may, to Sara. We're trying to push it down, but she keeps pushing it up. About 5% for the convert program. Seniors is about 2%. I think you can't see that number. And special events are 11.6. That's where we spend your money in terms of those programs. And that ends up being about $550,000 per year or about $45,000 each month. So we hope this was the level of transparency that inshallah you're looking for. We're happy to answer any questions in the Q&A. And as I said, there's more detailed slides if you find it necessary. And with that, I'll pass it on to Sheikh Adnan, who can tell us where we're going.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. So it's been 2 years now. I feel like 15 years older, that's for sure. 2 years have taken a toll. I don't want to make this too convoluted, but I'll say this. There's a few things I want to just point out in terms of, inshallah, where we're headed. The way I see communities being built is that you have to establish a core group of people who are willing to really give their time and give their expertise and give their wealth, like really commit themselves, which is what we've been trying to build here over the last 2 years. We're not there yet, so I can't act like we've hit the milestone where I feel like we can start moving on to the next phase. We're still within that phase of kind of building that core group of people. The brothers are a little bit quicker than the sisters because I'm a guy and I'm not trained to help. Sisters, Allah Khair, Sister Sara and their team have been moving that piece along nicely, and we want to be able to, inshallah, do more of that so the sisters feel as supported, inshallah, as the boys do. But for example, last night we had a pre-Ramadan meeting just to plan out the Ramadan schedule. I had 24 young men, all of them hafal, that were just sitting there figuring out who's going to pray what and who's going to do this and who's going to do that. And that tells you something, that we're that direction, inshallah, is a positive one. It doesn't. If you think it ends there, then you have it just completely misunderstood. That's just where it begins. It takes a long time to train these individuals, not just in the technicalities of how to do this work, but also in the spirituality of how to do it as well, so that they do it with the right intention, with the right spirit, with the right attitude, and they do it with the right goals of serving people. Because holding on to the concept of service as you move forward is very tricky. It's very tricky as you move along, the word service starts to kind of move, and you have to bring it back every time it does, because people lose the affinity towards it, because you're growing and there's more people and there's more individuals involved and there's money and then you have to bring it back. Look, the goal of any of this is just to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through serving his communities. That's it. There's nothing else. It's as simple as that, always has been and always will be. But that happens through making sure that we invest in human beings, invest in all these programs that you saw up there. These are programs that have just began. They have a long way to go still. The Imam Development Academy, we've been running for maybe five semesters so far. This is going to be a long road before we come to a point where we can actually graduate individuals who have enough Islamic knowledge and have enough confidence and are trained so they can stand up and they can speak adequately about Islam and give khutbahs and run masajid, which is what the goal has to be. The goal has to be is producing that, both men and women who are capable of offering these services and making sure that we cultivate that we are a place where we harness the energy of human beings. What I'm most proud of within this place, and proud in a good way, inshallah, are the initiatives that started here but kind of broke off and did their own thing, whether it's like whether it's MISC, whether it's FunFin, whether it's Dar al-Arqam, the social innovation lab, or lab or any of the other initiatives that I've started here and ended up doing, a podcast just began recently, the caregivers of Brother Abbasi was running. I love the fact that we're capable of doing that. That's really what matters to me. This institution only exists for that reason in my mind. It's just a vehicle. It's going to take us somewhere. There's no value in the name itself or in the logo. The value in it is what it provides for the community in terms of those who want to do a service and need a place to start it, need those who will support them and aid them and allow them and give them a platform to do it and then advertise and use their network to make sure that they can move forward with it. Because at the end, the goal is just making sure that everyone gets served. And that has to kind of, we have to always recline on that and go back to this is what we are about. We're about making sure that this ummah, this community finds what it needs and that the gaps are going to be filled and that we are going to bring people to a position where they are capable of, especially what happened since October. Since what happened in October, there's been this collective feeling amongst us that we are very far from where we should be. Like that gap became very clear. Maybe we had covered up with some carpets, and we didn't know that was a hole. But now we see this is a crater in the midst of where we in the midst of our lives. Or we don't have the strings to pull. We don't have the weight that we thought we did. We don't have the voice that we thought we should. And now we're watching people pay for that. People are paying for that with their lives. They're losing children. Are paying for that with their lives. And it's heartbreaking. And if you want that to change, and this is really honestly what I believe is the solution, you want that to change, then you have to develop our ummah, you have to develop our nation. That goes through developing individuals, regardless of your age group, but specifically focusing on the next generation, making sure that they are growing up, they're supported, they are educated, they are well-trained, they have mentors, they have people to turn to, they're learning, they're developing skills, and they are feeling that affinity, that adherence, and that closeness to their deen so that they later on can take this carry the baton after we move on, which may not be too far from now anyways. So that concept has to stay fresh and has to be clear in why we're doing what we're doing. What next for me is just what you're seeing up there with all the different programs is that these programs need to grow. They need to grow in terms of not just the quantity, but they need to grow in terms of the quality as well. You have to make sure that not only are we serving more people, but we're serving them well. It's easy to start programs with hundreds of, it's just a daycare. You just drop the kid off and leave. Or people come and sit and they listen to something that they've heard 100 times before and they walk away. So it's about also making sure that what we're doing, whatever we're offering, and to whatever demographic that we're offering it to, that we're doing it with quality. We're putting our heart in it, and we are making sure that we're bringing in people who have something to offer. See, the problem still, in my opinion, is that we still don't have enough people. I talked about this in Jum'ah specifically before this, before the town hall, is that we lack volunteer. The word volunteer, I agree with Sheikh Al-Janabi. I don't like the word. It brings on this concept that it's optional, that you can just no, it's not optional. It's not optional. This is complete. This is 100% not optional. And no, you can't show up anytime you want. And no, you can just sign up and then leave when you. No, this is a communal obligation. This is fard kifayah. You are doing your part. No one knows you any thanks, and you owe no one anything. However, we will thank you, and we will turn to you and say Jazakumullah khair, and Barakallahu fikum for coming, and for participating, and for contributing, and for believing in us, and for allowing us to try our best to do what we can for you, and then putting up maybe with the shortcomings that come with it. But that is what we have to kind of come back to, regardless of your age group, especially if you're someone who has expertise, and has knowledge, and has experience in life, and you're a little bit that you're the person who has something to offer more than others. And if you look at these programs that we're running with the number of volunteers, it's actually not. We need way more people who are willing to come and show up and bring in their expertise and help us develop it so that we can actually serve more people and serve them better. So that we have the next generation has access to knowledge and has access to professionals, has access to mentors, people who can help them and teach them and allow them to grow so that we have an ummah that is strong and solid. And our community can stop maybe complaining about certain problems that we continue to have, which honestly, in any Muslim community are the same problems, just repeated and recycled every year. There's really nothing, no change to them. I would really like to have other problems to complain about. I would really like to move on from the ones that I have and come up with new problems to complain about instead of saying the same stuff every year. So alhamdulillah, I feel that maybe inshallah ta'ala, with what we've been doing, hopefully we're maybe a step forward, a step closer inshallah ta'ala, trying to get there. It is a bumpy road. There's been a lot that has happened in the last 2 years. Inshallah ta'ala, I hope that inshallah what we've been offering is reasonable. We want to hear from you, inshallah, and what you want or where you see this going or how you would feel we can serve you better or what the community needs that we are not meeting in terms of the shortcomings or the gaps themselves. I want to end with that. I have to. Yani, thank everyone here for the work that they put in, especially the volunteers who helped run this day specifically. Jazakumullah khair. The people who made sure that space is nice and clean, and there's a place up front for the children. And throughout the year, there are a lot of people who are behind the scenes just making sure that this place can run and that we can actually offer some of these services that we're offering. And Amu Bilal, Jazakallah khair. Without you, this place would not exist altogether. For Jazakallah khair, Barakallah fik. May everything that happens here, inshallah, bi mizan hasanatik, inshallah ta'ala. We make dua for you and for your family. And make sure you keep Ahl Ghazza in your dua throughout these days. The day wasn't yani, a little bit celebratory, but we didn't want to make it too festive. Honestly, it's hard to be in that mood with what we're observing. But inshallah ta'ala, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu gave us the opportunity to do this, to open, to start something new, to serve people, hopefully to shift the needle a little bit and move the ball ahead. And it's something we're celebrating the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon myself and upon all of you. Jazakumullahu khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahu akbar.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh Adnan. I'd like to actually call Sheikh Janabi up to talk about some of the needs that we have, and maybe if you're capable to participate in some of the programming at Seville. Jazakallahu khairan.
Assalamu alaikum. So I won't take too much of everyone's time, but I would like to echo what Sheikh Adnan said. I'm not going to use the word volunteers. I just don't like the word at all. It doesn't send the right message, and that's not what I'm looking for. Because a volunteer means show up whenever you... This is, unfortunately, this is how we understand it, that you're on your own, right? You can show up, and then you can't, and you can just leave whenever you want. This is not optional, as Sheikh Adnan said. This is a communal obligation. As you know, there's a communal, it's called Fard Kifaya, and we all know that. But there's a little piece that I would like to add that I remember the other day that Fard Kifaya, when a small portion, well, a portion or a group of the community does something, and then that's it, it's fulfilled, everyone else is off the hook under the condition that it works. If it doesn't work, then those who did it will be rewarded and everyone else is not off the hook. So I think, I don't want to turn this into like a dark thing, but I have to give you the true image and the responsibility that we all care, all of us, every single one of us. See, I look at 300 students registered, ranging. I don't look at that. That doesn't concern me, because those 300 students I've been seeing for 2 years. Some of them are sitting here. They show up all the time. Their parents are very appreciative. I know them by name. We're good. I look at the 160 students on the wait list that I have to look at the parents with a straight face and say, keep waiting until your child is older, and then, right? I take every 3 months the Quran, and I'm going to talk only about the Quran program, but this is all across the board. So every 3 months we take a new, like, I don't know, maybe 10 extra students, right? We add so 160, every 3 months I take 10. So you do the math and see when your child will be seen, will be admitted to the program, and start memorizing, learn the Quran. So I think there's an issue there. So what we need here, basically, is manpower. This is the word, human power. This is what we need, not volunteers. I need someone who is able to provide to some of their... Now, Sheikh Khalid Sultan spoke about the financial aspect. And yes, we do need the money. We cannot run this place without having money. Let's be clear about that. But also, the most important is you, all of us actually, volunteering or investing our time here. Now, the biggest issue is this, is that we need teachers to teach Quran, for instance. If you want your child, if you want your son or daughter to be admitted, then it has to come from you, right? Now, teaching Arabic for students, you don't need to be a PhD in Arabic literature to do that. If you have a high school education, then we'll teach you how to do it. People might be a little bit intimidated in terms of like, okay, well, I can't do it. Yes, you can. Sometimes you really can. If you have a brother who actually knows a little bit of the Quran, you can tell. If you can't, then share this. We need people to come in and commit. That's what we need. Otherwise, I will stick to my 300. We cannot expand more. And this is true for all programs that run here. We need people to show up. When you come in and you see the same faces, those are the people that actually hold this place on their shoulders, right? And we need more of that. It's for you. It's an obligation for upon all of us. We were looking at mosques in the U.S. the other day, and there's some beautiful. I mean, it's just something. Look it up on YouTube. There are mosques in the U.S. where they were built. I'm not even going to share all their information, but it goes to tell you how much investment in time and people and manpower and time. So. I get a lot. I get a request from parents saying, okay, well, my child needs to learn Arabic. Sure, I have the knowledge, but I need more people to help me with that. Okay? So this would be the one thing that I would like to say to people. That this place is built on our shoulders. We make it happen. Now money comes and goes, but time is what I need from people to commit and invest. Now it's very interesting. This is from observation. You have a lot of young volunteers, if you like to use this word. But the young ones sometimes they need to be mentored a lot. I'm looking for the more fulfilled, I'm looking for someone who's older than 30, 35, 40. I need someone with experience with children. I need someone with experience in life that could share it with others. And Sheikh Adnan Jalal Khair last Friday, he did say that. He said, this age group is too busy. And I understand, I'm busy like you, right? We all are. But maybe a couple of hours a week will go a long way. That's it. That's all we need from. So if you can, then please volunteer, invest your time. If you cannot, then help us find. If you have a brother, a sister, a parent, a child, who can actually help us do this, we need this. And this is what I have to share. I would like the 300 to be 1,000. We would like this place to sound like a beehive. Everywhere you go, there's Quran being recited, inshallah. But I'm only limited by the number of teachers that I have. I speak about the Quran program and the Arabic program, but in reality, all programs are the same. We always lack people who commit, and they're the cornerstone of the program. So I hope this inshallah. I would like to thank you for being here and taking the time, and I'll pass the mic.
And please forgive us, forgive me. I know I've had people come and say, I want to do something. Sometimes we don't have the capacity to channel someone to the best ability. So please forgive us if we've ever been slow to try and integrate you into the proper avenue to get work. We are learning, inshallah. We do have some people involved now that are trying to better that practice for us. And with that, I'd like to introduce Khmaisa to maybe introduce some of the people involved in that.
I'm sure I'll stay. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Jazakallah khairan for being here and just always being present, Sheikh Adnan and all of you, mashallah. They've pretty much covered the presence and your commitment and your support, just your presence alone is giving us all the positive, motivation to continue doing what we're doing, alhamdulillah. As Brother Muhammad just mentioned briefly, we don't always have the capacity to support people coming forward and wanting to be engaged and participating all the time. We are working on this process, inshallah. Sister Iman, I can see her in the back there. She will be part of the intake process, inshallah. Shiham, I see you. If you can put your hand up so everybody can see you. Rama, I'm not sure where she's hiding. She's also part of the process, inshallah. And Osama was hiding here behind me. So any of the individuals that I just mentioned, if you are interested, please have a chat with them briefly. There is an intake form that Fayed promised he put up. So we'll hold him accountable. If it's not running proper, you can harass him. But inshallah, this is going to be something that we're working on moving forward. So bizn Allah, with your support, we'll be able to kind of channel that in the near future. Who is after me? We're good?
JazakAllah khair and for your attention. And I'd like to actually hand it off to Brother Khalid to field questions, if there are any, if you saved your question. If not, we have our snacks to socialize until Isha prayer, which is in 20 minutes, so 7:45. But I'll hand it off to our capable Khalid, and he wants to share anything else.
JazakAllah khair. So, Ya rahmatullah, Shabran. So for the next 20 minutes, if we have any questions, we're open book, so please feel free to ask any questions. If we don't have any questions, we're going to break for snacks, inshallah. I expected that. So we're going to break out for snacks if we don't have enough questions before Maghrib, before Aisha, sorry. But I already see a few hands up. So most likely, we'll take your questions. And then pray Aisha, and after Aisha, we'll have some snacks and additional Q&A, either one-on-one or as a group, as a whole, inshallah. So I saw your hand up, so go ahead, inshallah.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, JazakAllah for all the work you are all doing. So Sister Mesa talked about the intake process that's going to be started. Is it a come forward, I'm offering my help and we'll slot you, or is there also an ability to see what the needs are? Beautiful. So you can see a list of needs.
JazakAllah khair. So basically the intake, is it something that I volunteer and say, hey, I want to help, or is there a list of things that we need done? Both. Our philosophy is we'd love, to the extent that we can make this happen, is to tap into what you're best at. So instead of saying, here are the four things that I need done, I need you, Jafar, to take one of them, which could work. It's coming to Jafar and saying, how do you think you can help us? And what you're passionate about is what we want done here. Obviously, if the goals align, and usually they do. So both are available. Our modus operandi is to ask you, what do you want to do? What you think you can help? And if you say, I'm going to do anything, like Akhuna Muhammad, Jazallahu Khair, today at Fajr, I'll do anything. Just tell me what you want and I'll do it. We'll tell you exactly where the areas of deficiencies or opportunities, I should say, and slot you there. But we want people to do the work because they want to do it and get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not because they have to do anything. If you're going to be much more empowered when you do things that you love to do. So hopefully that answers that question. Great question. And I see a hand in the back. Perfect. So I'll give you this general advice above and beyond what I just said, is honestly, I know this is going to sound weird, but get into the mindset that this is my place. This is my home. I walk into this place like I walk in at home. And most of us walk in at home, and if they see something broken or something spilled, would probably pick it up and fix it. You're more than welcome to do that here. And we encourage you to do that, to say, okay, what is missing? What could I improve? You know what? Your sign is kind of crooked. You look at it and say, I think I can fix that. Let me come up to somebody and say, hey, can I fix your sign? Or can I improve your TV? Or can I do whatever? To the extent that you do that, you're going to realize that with open arms, we're going to tell you, ahlan wa sahlan, please help. Sometimes it's really hard to say, okay, here's the 17 things that we have. You come up exactly at the right time and we make the connection. We're trying to make it that way. But often enough, it's just coming and asking and participating and asking again. Eventually, you'll find the right place for you to be slotted. The most important thing that I would say we need, much more so than the money, is just the connection that you have, the dua that you have, the connection to this place and the dua that you can give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this work function. I know the brothers and sisters that run this place, and I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is not a modesty thing. They work many, many times harder than I do personally, and I feel ashamed. And I said that to them many times before. They're leaving their families, their their work. Sometimes they have nothing else to do but here. They basically finish their work and they come here for 4 hours, then they go home, and they do it over and over again. And that's why I volunteer, because I look at them and I feel somewhat, ashamed is a bad word, but I feel sad that there's so much pain on a few brothers that I owe it to this place to do what I can. So thank you for asking the question. Inshallah, we'll find a process by which we can codify it correctly. But the number one thing that I would suggest is just come up and pretend this is your place. Not pretend, it is your place. We serve you tea and coffee because that's what I would serve when you come to my house. That's how we do it here. Any other questions?
Brothers and sisters.
Yeah, maybe sisters. Sorry. Perfect.
Assalamu alaikum.
Can you tell us your name, please?
Yes, Dina. My name is Dina. Yeah. I've had the opportunity to, in the future, work with some MPs and some work with the politics. So I kind of came here today to ask, what does the Muslim community need that we need to kind of advocate on, like, that level? Yeah, that was my question.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you for that. And one of the five priorities that we talked about and Sheikh Adnan talked about at Ramadan and since then is advocacy, very, very important piece. And Akhuna Muhammad will answer that.
Inshallah, one of the things I think we try to do is not replicate efforts and coordinate efforts with others. So one of the things we do is promote others that are doing an effective job at things. Like Brother Khalid said, MISQ and Dar al-Qam doing the survey, the London Community Survey, mashallah. Who's it that is going off, by the way? Can we shut that off? I got my teacher vision on right now. So there's Hikmah in London. Hikmah is involved politically. They're doing advocating. There's a new group, CM PAC, I believe, that's trying to get started. So I think some coordination there. There's also the NCCM that's happening at a national level. So we're really following their lead. We don't want to invent something that is being done properly. Brother Muhammad Awada is employed by Hikmah. I don't see him here. He sometimes comes here. And we've run some of their events here as well. So I would say look at Hikmah and CM PAC is emerging now, NCCM. And then there's CJPME, which is also a national organization that does a lot of advocacy around Palestine, so that's Canadians in Justice of Peace in the Middle East. So that would be the best avenue for that. If something does emerge different than that, that serves a unique role, then we will probably promote it. But we do like to take our guidance from the effective people that do these jobs. Jazakallah khairan. Good question.
Assalamu alaikum. I have a question. I'm just going to be quick. Sorry. Thank you so much, first of all, for all the work that you guys do. Really appreciate that. Jazakallah khair. My question is, are you guys open to something new? Like some of the programs that you had, it's wonderful. All of the programs actually are wonderful. Thank you so much. But are you guys open to some new program ideas? Is that something that we can communicate through email to somebody?
The answer is yes, absolutely. We are. I don't think this is on. That's why they gave me this mic, because they don't want me to speak. No, just kidding. Of course, the answer is yes. And Sheikh Adnan, out of all the imams that I've actually met in my life, and I don't want to break his back with what I'm about to say, but I will, so try not to listen, that I have not seen an imam so open to ideas and piloting projects and seeing them fail. Because typically what you want is you want to start something when it's perfect, you've designed it, you know it's low risk. Of course, people are going to attend. His attitude and the attitude of the masjid is, you know what, try it and see what happens. And if it fails, no problem. We fix ourselves up, we improve it and launch it again. And this is how we operate all our programming. And much of what we do today was a pilot idea that, and we didn't know if it's going to work or not. The mentorship that you saw was just an idea of saying, hey, would this actually work or not? We ran it, it ran well. We had to bring it back and redesign it because we learned a lot and then relaunched it. But the short answer is absolutely. And get in touch with us, say, I have this crazy idea, I think this is gonna work. If it's in line with our mission and vision, which you can drive a truck through, then our answer is, can you do it? And can you do it yesterday? And we'll empower you to do it. If it means money, if it means resources, We want to see you succeed. And that's when we unlock what you're passionate about. We unlock your miracle and your spirit to do the great work to bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've got magic in you. Every single person does. And we're here just to empower you to unlock it, inshallah. So hopefully that answers the question. Sheikh Adnan, do you want to add anything?
No, JazakAllah khair. But you're always welcome to suggest if the idea is something you want to run, then yeah, it's exactly what Brother Khalid said. If something you want us to run, we will take it, we'll listen to it. And if it's something that we have the capacity to do, then for sure we entertain these things. Sometimes we'll take an idea. And you know, a lot of the stuff that we run here were ideas that weren't necessarily from me, ideas I got years before, but needed the time to actually to come to the right point where we could actually do it. So sometimes you'll give me an idea and I like it, but I may not have the capacity to run it myself or to start it immediately, but it doesn't mean we don't think it's valuable. It's just we have to work within the limitations of our capacity sometimes. But feel very welcome to... I know I sometimes say, don't bring me ideas, but what I mean by that is more is just people just kind of use me like a drop box. Here, you do this. We need... you can only do so much with the time that you got. So if you think something's important, you want it to happen, we will help you get it up and running. And then if there's a participation piece from our side, then we're happy to offer that as well, Yani. So yeah, JazakAllah khair, feel free to do that, inshallah. JazakAllah khair, yeah.
There was a question here. Yes, brother. Can we get him a mic, please? Can you tell us?
Assalamu alaikum, JazakAllah khair. My name is Safiullah.
Safiullah,
actually, I have one question. Like every year, the students are graduating from the university and colleges, but a lot of people are unemployed, like they have no professional connection with them, like for the students to guide them and to lead in a good, right pathway. So is there any possible way to connect with the professionals, like to get into the jobs, like something like?
JazakAllah khair, Safiullah.
One of the things we spend quite a bit of time on is our weekly newsletters. And I know some people aren't subscribed to our emails, but I link them into our WhatsApp. The bottom of each newsletter is a jobs for all of London, and it's actually put through the London Immigration Partnership. I believe it's called LMLIP. It's a long London Immigration Middlesex partnership that actually is promoting some of our events. They saw some of the stuff that we're doing here, and they said, can we promote that? And this is a broader London immigration partnership, and they have a very good jobs section. All the jobs in London, some jobs in Ontario that people aren't aware of, that we qualify for. A lot of people qualify for these jobs that we're not aware of. And there is maybe preferential hiring for these things. So there's a good opportunity there. There is also the personal network that we have here that if you ask a brother if there's a certain field that we might know of, yeah, definitely you bring it up to someone in our congregation, there might be a connection there. So that would, I would say, be the best opportunity for working.
And I'll add one thing to that. Our name says network in it for a reason, and a network is only as strong as the connections that it has. You just ask any computer scientist and they'll explain that concept for you. And how do you build that network? It's very hard for three or four people or Sheikh Adnan to go around and building that network. What's really easy is when we all do it ourselves. So one thing that I recommend you do is get to know one person every time you come in to pray Aisha here. You come in, you pray Aisha. Somebody you don't know, walk up to them and say, Assalamu alaikum, my name is Khalid Sultan, what's your name? I know it may seem weird and nobody does this anymore, but that is the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's what our sahaba used to do and taught us. We forgot that somewhere. And that's why we become weak. And Sheikh Adnan said it. You know what happened on October? It clarified how weak we are. I'm not here to make us feel bad, but it's a reality check to realize, oh my God, I didn't realize that, and I don't mean just Muslims in London. I mean Muslims around the world. I would even venture to say people not in power around the world are just weak. They're weak because they chose to, you know, we say al-hayt al-hayt in Arabic, which is, just stay by the side of the wall and get out of the way and don't cause any ruckus. That's not the way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The way of he taught us is to come strong and build that network. You can do it as simply as introducing yourself to somebody else every single time.
say kya hal hai. I know it's going to sound bad pronunciation and people laugh at you, but you know, they smile and then you build a connection and that network grows. So may Allah make it easy, inshallah. Any other questions before Aisha? We've got 4 more minutes. We have 2. Okay, tafadhal, Sheikhna, Dr. Muhammad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh. First, jazakumullah khair for what you're doing. You are really on a thagr min al-thagur. I don't know how to say it in English, but you are filling a gap. And alhamdulillah that you are here. We're very happy because you're filling this gap. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the reward that you want. We've been here for 2 years. I noticed something. In the first year, you used to depend on the youth. I used to hear the prayer led by Hamza, by Hisham, by Amr, by Asim. I used to hear their khawatir. Now I haven't been hearing that. And you depend. You're investing more in older people. Why is this change? And are we going to change to a traditional mosque now? That's my question.
JazakAllah khair for that. We'll have Sheikh Adnan address that.
That's not fair. Actually, the khawatir, I used to do 5 a week, and then I only had 2 people who would cover for me. Now I actually only do 2 a week, and we have Brother Ahmed Rahman Saydam, we have Brother Omar Abdul Hadi, and then I have some other shiukh who are a little bit older coming. Share the khawatir. The reason actually is not me. You have to talk to them. They don't show up for the stuff that they should. And if the same thing for salawat, yeah, I don't want to throw everyone under the bus, especially not, where's Hamza? I don't want to throw him under the bus completely, but he kind of knows that it's kind of him not showing up that this is the case. No, for sure. The goal here is the opposite. I was just saying that last night we met for Taraweeh. I haven't prayed, I think, Raka'ah of Taraweeh as an imam for years now. Because there's over 24 hafil, and they're all younger people who have been leading. The same thing goes for the khawatir. Usually after Maghrib is when these younger guys take it once the summer comes around. So no, we're not making any changes. It's just I like to involve as many people as possible in the work. So if I have brothers who are committed here or coming, shiukh, whether older or younger, I like to involve them. And when it comes to the younger generation, I mean, I didn't want to talk about this, but we need more spaces in the city that will allow for training. I have an issue with, I have a problem with capacity in terms of training. If I'm going to train younger people to do this stuff, I need more masajid actually to do it. I can't do it all here. Like, I don't have enough space and enough slots to train everyone here. And this masjid that I thought initially when we started, it was going to be more a peripheral masjid where there'd be less interest in it. And I could just get the younger brothers to do it, turned into something a little bit different. And the numbers that come here are much higher. So I'm forced to put people a little bit more experienced. Not because I don't think that the youngers should be trained, but because if I don't, and I put people who are unexperienced to speak to large numbers of people, I end up throwing them under the bus because they're not ready yet, and it actually ruins their ability to do the job. So I hear where you're coming from. Nothing has changed. If anything, it's just moving in that direction. It's just a matter of wisdom, like making sure that we put people in the... Like if I put someone on the minbar here, which I have to, at some point these people that we're training, I have to train them to do khutbas. If I put them here, they're going to be in trouble. Because of the number of people that actually attend here and the diversity of it. I need masajid that are smaller and smaller spaces where I can actually put people to train them so they try and they fail and they bomb a couple of times and I give them feedback and then we come back and we can put them in a position where they can do this stuff. So inshallah ta'ala, that's going on forward. Honestly, the Aisha specifically, if you're asking about that, it's just them. They just stopped showing up for salawat out of busyness. So I filled it in with the brothers who are here. But jazakallah khair for the question and I'm on that same page that you're on, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakallah khair.
Allah jazakum khair. Yes. So I know there are more questions, but Aisha time is here, and I love that it tells us in very different languages. So we're going to get up, pray, inshallah, and continue Q&A and refreshments afterwards. Jazakallah khair.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا